Welcome to Truest Blood, the official True Blood podcast.
I'm Kristen Bauer.
And I'm Deborah Ann Wohl.
And you've been invited in. I want to do bad things with you. On Truest Blood. Welcome back to Truest Blood, where we sink our fangs into the series bite by bite. This week, we welcome Jessica Tuck on the show. Yay. She had one of the hardest jobs in the series, portraying AVL spokeswoman and undercover authority spy, Nan Flanagan.
Yes, but she deftly handled every plot twist the writers threw at her, making her performance not to be missed. And I will never get over the fact that she and Bill are actually vampire spies. That makes me so excited.
Yeah, I had a real moment when I saw that, wait a minute, in 1982, they actually conceived the premise of the entire show.
Yes, yes. They are vampire spies since the 80s. Yeah. They've been working behind the scenes all this time, and it's spectacular. And I have never been more excited.
It's spectacular.
But first, let's have a quick bite. We've come a long way from Lon Chaney allegedly sticking fish skin to his nose to achieve his ghoulish look in The Phantom of the Opera in 1925. But despite the emergence of CGI, the effects are often still just as practical as ever.
For on-the-spot wounds and scars, silicone sculpture is popular for on-set special effects. It doesn't restrict movement and sticks easily to the body. But for larger, more durable applications, a life cast must be made of the performer.
Now, a cast is made by applying an oil-like petroleum jelly to the skin and hair to prevent adhesion. Then, the area to be cast is covered in alginate liquid plaster or gypsum cement. These materials are so sensitive that pores and even fingerprints are recreated.
As the mold cures, the performer must remain as still as possible. If the cast is of the actor's head or chest, care is taken to leave space for the nostrils and inflation of the lungs. This can be difficult physically as well as mentally, and so the process has been streamlined to under 30 minutes.
Once the cast is cured, it is removed and reassembled, then repaired or altered if necessary. Then a liquid latex foam is poured into the cast to create a perfect replica of the performer's body. On this replica, special effects artists use silicone and gelatin to create reusable prosthetics with a truly custom fit. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Jessica Tuck in the house today. She played the vampire Nan Flanagan. Woo-hoo. She was the head of the American Vampire League for 4 seasons on True Blood. I mean, that delivery, those legs, that face, the jawline. Mm-hmm. She's simply sublime in the role.
With a ridiculous 145 titles listed in her credits. You have seen Jessica on everything. Holy crap. And if you are a fan of soaps, you've also been watching her for years. We just can't wait to dive into all things badass bitch. So without further ado, Jessica Tuck.
Hi, Jessica Tuck. Welcome to the show.
Jessica Tuck is here.
Hi, gals. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my gosh. Nan Flanagan is here. Holy moly.
In the flesh.
In the flesh.
In the undead flesh.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And during the day.
And during the day.
All us vampires together.
I know. Weird. People are going to think we weren't acting.
I know.
Or we were acting. Wait, how does that work?
Well, and aren't there some vampires that can hang out during the day?
They do exist.
And
I've
just
heard
get twinkly and shiny. I always wondered what exactly.
I've heard rumors of those vampires.
So they asked that of Charlaine Harris at a convention I did with her. And she said, I forget what the leading question was, but her answer was, no, there are not. there are not other vampires. She was very clear that that was some bullshit.
Okay. Well,
within our world.
She set the record straight. I read those books when I was single for way too long, like 5 years. I had only held one hand and I was, you know, like 40. And those books were the right speed for me at that time. And I realized if you are kind of, you know, pre-sexual years, like I'd become a virgin again, basically. That it was perfect. They were lovely. So this is the adult vampire show.
Hey, Jessica knows a little something about that.
Oh, I thought you were talking me. And I was like, I do? And you were talking
to me. No, wait, what? I did too. For one second. I'm like,
Jessica Hamby knows a little bit something about...
Jessica Hamby knows a lot about that.
That unfortunate situation over and over and over again. I'm so sorry for you.
I'm so sorry.
Very unfortunate situation. But this is, we're so excited to talk with you, Jessica Tuck, today about Nan. We've just been watching the third and fourth season. So we are right in the midst of all the incredible reveals about what she's been up to for centuries.
Yeah.
Really? And that essentially Nan Flanagan is like the ultimate vampire spy. Yeah. Which is amazing.
Which is totally amazing.
I was sort of figuring things out along with everyone else because I didn't know much about her when we started. So
interesting.
In fact, a lot was said after her true death, after Nan died, even more is revealed.
Right.
That I guess might have been nice to know earlier, but I don't even know if they knew it earlier. Like, I always wondered how much did they know to be able to tell us and how much was just going to be revealed.
Right.
But I sometimes felt like I was trying to figure out exactly what I was doing and who I was right from the start, even.
I know. I felt the same exact way.
Well, let's go back to the start.
Yeah, let's go back to the start. We ask everyone, how did you get the job?
Well, the initial audition was fairly straightforward. Nan was just supposed to be in the pilot and maybe one other episode, you know, kind of how they do sometimes, possibly recurring, and you don't know whether you necessarily can count on that or not. But, and it was a very quick audition. I, of course, said, yes, sign me up, because I love Alan Ball, and I had auditioned several times for Six Feet Under, and went in, read, again, with dummy sides, so I didn't really know what I was saying. I just knew I was an Ann Coulter type.
Really?
And in on some kind of talk show or something, you know, wasn't really clear. Gosh. It's always kind of vague. And then I left thinking, okay, well, that was fun. And it's always exciting to see Alan Ball. And then 2 days later, I found out I got the role. And and this was the different part, was that we were going to be shooting it on the Bill Maher show. Because that's when Nan first appears, she's on a TV in the back of a convenience store, and you just see her in the back of a scene.
Yeah.
And so we went to the Bill Maher show, and I went through the works as if I were a guest, and they were taping his actual show. And when they finished taping the show, they kept the live audience, and they brought me on. And I sat down, and I know, it was, I will admit, I was a little nervous. I had to put, like, my big girl pants on and just kind of just fake it, because Nan's supposed to be, you know, so confident and calm, and I was just like, oh my God, I'm in front of a live audience, and they're like civilians, you know. They're not actors. They're like civilians. And I think it might have been either Alan Ball. I think it was Alan Ball who stood up and told them the bare minimum. You know, she's a vampire. Okay. Here's the premise of the show. But again, because this was the pilot, they didn't want to give away a lot. So, and of course, I'm sitting there listening because I'm like, maybe I can learn a little bit about what I'm doing. And they've given us.
Oh, gosh.
I know. Scary, right?
Yeah, that's terrifying.
They've given us some scripted lines that we needed to cover, but they then said, you know, feel free to improv. And I'm like, improv? Like,
that's the worst.
What is the, It's the worst, that's the right? With Bill Maher's, like, a stand-up comic and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I know, day one. And I'm also thinking, well, what exactly are the vamp conventions on this show? Like, what exactly? Right. Like, I didn't want to improv something that didn't make sense. And you know, Bill Maher was very cash and calm, and you know, I'm sure that if you've been able to see the large sweat stains under my arms, but I figure
go back and watch,
right? Like, they could probably, they'll cut. I mean, if I say something ridiculous, uh-huh. Well, then I guess we'll cut and start again. I don't know, but right. It was a bit of an out of body experience.
Not actually live.
No, thank goodness. Right.
Yeah.
But in front of a live audience, and they didn't know, and they were reacting and doing things. And we shot a lot more than was ever used. And in fact, I think in the end, much of what we ended up using is what was scripted, but there were bits and pieces, you know, lead-ins and things. Mm-hmm. So it was really fun and really different. And it was sort of the beginning of kind of the way I felt like I traveled through the show for the first like three seasons. Huh. Because as a recurring character, I never knew when they were going to call me. And I didn't get the scripts that I wasn't in. So I always felt like I was jumping onto a moving train. You know, like I was like, oh, here I am. What's happened? Like, what's going on now? Has anyone said anything about Nan? Like, what's my deal?
Gosh.
And I was watching, you know, eventually... In the second season, I mean, I was watching it with everybody else, with the general public.
Right.
And
yeah, taking notes.
Taking notes. Yeah. And listening for any little thing that I might be able to add and try and make sense of myself. And that was for the first 3 years, because it wasn't until season four that I was made a season regular. And then at that point, you get given the scripts, whether you're in them or not.
Yes.
And yeah. So I felt like slightly more like stable on my feet.
That's very intense, because this show, unusually for television shows, normally also the episode we'd be shooting would be airing in 3 weeks. So you could kind of be in a little bit more real time. But this is, we would finish almost shooting the whole season and then air it. So you couldn't even be in real time seeing what the heck was going on with these characters that you were in charge of.
Yes. Let's just talk about that. Like, you know, also, I hadn't acted with anyone but me and the green screen. You know, I'd be doing my little news reports or my things. And sometimes, like, you know, I'm talking to Stephen Newland and he's on another set. We weren't acting with each other. I would come in for one day. Do my stuff.
Green screen and Bill Maher. That's it.
That's it, right? And I would leave. Yeah. And then the first time I get out of my box, I'm like sitting there taken to task all the big vampires on the show.
Yeah.
And I'm trying as Nan.
Yeah.
And as Jessica, not to be slightly intimidated by the fact that like all these actors who I've been watching and admiring in their work for the first, you know, 2 years.
Yeah.
And now I'm sitting there trying to be the one that's like driving the scene and telling them what's what. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I hope I don't. I didn't know where I was going. I wasn't sure. I knew I was 800. I found out at one point that I was 800 years old. So I was older than Bill, but younger than Eric.
Than Eric.
Yeah.
But somehow like I'm bossing people around like Godric. And I guess it's my affiliation with
politics, baby.
Mm-hmm. My affiliation with the AVL gives me some kind of power. But I kind of was ballsy, if I may say so myself. Like,
you were ballsy,
Jessica. You must be the greatest actor that ever lived, because as you are talking about this right now and I think about your performance, I'm like, not a bead of sweat, not a tremor in the lip. You were calm, cool, collected, and mean as nails. Mm-hmm. Sharp as nails, I should say.
Well,
throughout
and funny.
The whole thing. So, wow.
Well.
And hilarious.
Thank you. But it's like that, I think it was Annie Hall, where they're saying one thing and then there's their internal voice. Like if you had had a little microphone inside, you'd be like, oh my God, I'm really scared right I hope I can say all these words. You know, I just was like talking to myself in my dressing room. It actually was a really good, one of the great, great, many gifts of this show was helping me get out of my own way as an actor. Like, you know, look, here's the character. Here are her words. Make sense of it. And then just get out of your way, Jessica. Like, I can self-sabotage so easily and feel... And what was hard, too, is that because I was just coming in every once in a while, and everyone was so incredibly nice. I mean, the community was so great. But I trembled feeling a tiny bit like an outsider, like, you know, and so, and again, everyone's incredibly nice and there's no room for that self-doubt and stuff. I just got to let it go. But also Nan didn't have a lot of relationships. I mean, she was a loner. She doesn't, we don't know who her maker was. Mm-hmm. At least I didn't like there's, she didn't choose a family really. Like what's her job in the family? I mean, and so I wondered who were her go-to people. And so it was a really interesting, exciting, challenging ride for me.
Yeah. Well, what an interesting insight that is then into a woman who maybe doesn't have people to turn to, right? Who is on her own in a very powerful position with a lot of people who think they can boss her around. You know, again, it's like that little quirk of vulnerability or humility, humanity that lives in that character is what really makes her complex and interesting, I think. You know, and then of course the slight hypocrisy in Nan as well is just the most slight.
Yeah, she was pretty duplicitous.
Is the most fascinating. Oh, it's so good. I mean, one of the best moments of the show is when you come off the screen. You know, when you and Steve Newlin, who we've previously, as you said, only seen as talking heads, and suddenly you're people in our world. Yeah. Just one of the greatest moments on the show.
Yeah, he was wonderful.
Now, he was so wonderful. Mm-hmm. Now, how did you support yourself? What's your process in this when you're... Because I've been in those shoes so many times, and I was recurring the first two seasons. And there's a feel, you know, that you're going to a new school where you don't attend all the time. You know, it's there's the series regulars and then there's the guests and the recurrings. And this show, everyone was so phenomenally welcoming. However, you are aware of it as an actor, especially when someone like you, you've experienced hundreds of episodes as a series regular. And then when you don't have all the information for the character, and then when you're playing someone staggeringly confident and you're a human that is, you know, at a new school, how did you support yourself acting-wise? Did you leave gaps for yourself? Like, look, I'm just going to hit my marks and I'm just going to deliver this shit wearing this outfit. Or did you make up a backstory and try to fill in?
A little bit of both. And I so appreciate this question because I feel like a lot of people, like it's hard to talk about this because you're like talking about the weak, like the trembling part of acting, especially if you're out there with a character that's like the way Nan was. You know, as an actor, I had to say to myself, this is such an amazing opportunity. I'm so excited to be here. And I'm going to trust. I'm going to trust in the process. I'm going to trust in the directors and the writers, that someone is going to let me know if I'm, you know, off in left field somewhere. And I'm going to make some decisions, and that's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to feel really confident and good about those decisions. And it was the trust element. And it, this is where I loved this show, is I trusted that they're not going to let something get filmed and put in the can that they don't like. If I'm doing something crazy or too big or too small or whatever, that they would let me know. And then I just decided that that's what would happen. So that was a way as an actor that I was able to just concentrate on the work and not on the trembling. But I feel like Nan, like I loved when I learned that vampires are sort of frozen in time of in when they were killed, right? And I think that was just like physically, but I think also like for me, I felt like Nan in her, when she was alive, what I gave myself was that it wasn't easy. Like she couldn't show weakness or tenderness or she wasn't going to survive. Mm. Like the relationships in her life were such that she just had to be a survivor. And that same thing was true once she got...
We're talking 800 years to go.
Well, yeah, 800, but that's all she learned. So even though we're only frozen in time in the way we look, also our, like, we bring our lessons with us, right? We bring our little toolbox of what we know about life. And if we can't break out of our old patterns, I'm assuming they just perpetuate into vampdom. And so I feel like Nan might have been lonely and untrusting of people and trembly a little bit in her real life. And so like with someone, when you get into an argument with them and they realize, oh, I'm wrong, but they refuse to be discovered. And so they like double down on their argument. Kind of. I sort of felt like with Nan, like she just would get tougher and then tougher and more with more conviction. Yeah. Like there was that one episode where we all go underground together because the witches are trying to bring us out into the light. And I say, I'm going to...
Bill chained up in his basement.
Yes, we all chained up down their basement. And, you know...
Yeah.
And she says, well, you know, we all have to get up early to go to the Festival of Tolerance. I might as well be here with you all.
Yes.
I just sort of felt like that was a moment with Nan of like, kind of wanted to be with the group. Kind of, you know, like, I'm not going to let you know that I'm enjoying being here. But you know what? Like, yeah, I'm going to have a sleepover. I'm going to join you all in the sleepover. And so there would be moments like that, that for
solidarity.
Me, yes. Solidarity, but also like a little bit of community. Because like, who does Nan have a sleepover with? Yeah. I mean, who wants to be around her? She's such a bitch, you know?
Yeah.
And even down there, all I'm doing is...
Well, she's got to pay prostitutes.
Well, exactly, right? I got to pay people to be with me.
Glamour.
Yeah, glamour people. Yeah. And so, Kristen, did I even answer your question? I just went yakety yak and I've like...
Yeah, you did. And I'm absolutely riveted and fascinated because I'm thinking so many things as far as being an artist. And, you know, I'm married to a musician and it's so replaying that moment, because I think in that moment when you say, I'll just sleep here, I thought, what do the writers need that they need Nan in that room? And what's so interesting as an actor is I think the audience will never know what we told ourselves that made us feel grounded. Mm-hmm. But as long as you have something, it doesn't matter if it's the truth that you find out later when the writers reveal it. You just have to have something in order to walk on the set and say those lines and not feel like a goofball.
Yeah. And I really appreciate what you said just then about like, you have to tell yourself something, you've got to have make reasons for it. Even if it ends up like not being right later on, it just adds that texture underneath, that tension that's needed. And that was also something I allowed myself, was like not necessarily knowing exactly the right thing. I just had to make a decision because, you know, we were discovering as we went along. So...
Yeah.
Permission was a big kind of theme.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. I wonder if I had the kind of wisdom to think in terms of that trust, because I felt the same way as you, is that I knew this was an opportunity. This was an incredible role. I never got to play tough girls before this. And I wanted to be part of the cool kids that got to be series regulars. You know, I just kept hoping. So I really, every scene was an audition in my mind. You know, I was, but yet it was a community and yet it was comfortable. But yet I wanted so bad to be there more and more.
So I hear that, that every scene is an audition.
Oof. Every scene when you're a guest in a recurring, you know, and I love on this show that with your character too, and I don't know that we can know, But all of that subtext that you gave yourself, and you just kill it. Every time you're on screen, you kill it. Yeah. The writers responded and wrote more and revealed more, right?
Yes.
And had you around more. And I think that that play back and forth was due to us showing up with bells on.
Exactly. Yeah, you just got to show up. Got to show up. Just do it.
I love the that there's, you know, it's both, right? It's the actor showing up with bells on, and it's the writers being open to being a little flexible about their plans, right? So that when they see, you know, Jessica Tuck come in and make Nan Flanagan bigger than the screen she's on, they go, well, we got to take her off that screen and put her in the show. You know, that they recognize it and are able to flow with what's actually happening. And for me, True Blood is a rare example of writers being very flexible and open. And I think it's the better for it, because now we get opportunities to see these characters and play to their strengths and things like that. Because, I mean, we want to talk a little bit about these incredible lines that Nan gets. I mean, some of the best lines in the show were given to you because they knew you could handle it. You know, they were like, I want to hear Jessica Tuck say this line. So talk a little bit about that. Is that pressure? Is that exciting? You know, how does that go through your mind?
Well, again, first of all, gratitude, because I was like, oh, I am so excited. And at a certain point, I started taking the pressure off of myself, because as you just said, Deborah, like, oh, they're bringing me back. So I must be doing something that they're responding to. So I'm just going to trust that the sort of traction that I have found into this character is I'm going in the right direction until I hear otherwise. And I know people always talk about the costuming, but truly, like, I have five brothers. I wear blue jeans and flat shoes in my real life. I mean, I am so not girly girl at all. And Audrey Fisher put me in these, like, first of all, high heel shoes that, oh my gosh, they were so hard for me to walk in. But that was the other thing, is that I had to be like really deliberate in my walking, because I had to make sure I didn't face plant. But then these like incredible tailored, big shouldered, like she made me bigger in stature than I actually was. Leather, black, you know, it would just, you put that on, then all of a sudden I just feel like, you know, I have a whole other persona. I mean, just costuming and the hair, like these crazy sort of harsh dudes. I mean, I loved going to hair and makeup. Like, it really helped me own what I was saying, because I just felt like Nan, because she's just so different from me in real life. And at the time, when I first started, I had a 5-year-old. And so there's my mommy life at home. And then there was like Nan Flanagan. And we weren't showing any of that stuff in my house. You know, it's just like, I was like, fuck this, fuck that. You know, I just was like, woo, sex, blood, swearing. Like, so it was like I was leading, like Nan, I had sort of a duplicitous life, right?
Double life.
And it was just, I loved it. And I loved the dialogue they gave me. I mean, I felt really lucky to have it. And it was really fun. And I had such a good memory back there. I could actually memorize my lines. Like, what's happened now that I'm a certain age? It's like, woo!
I know, I feel like I'm older and out of practice. But you did 8 billion episodes of soaps. And did you play a villain previously? And also, I'm sure that, I mean, that's just like being in the mental gym on a soap opera with remembering dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, if I called you Bob, they would stop me. But, you know, like there were times when we kerfuffled in our thing, but we would just have to recover because they were going 100 miles an hour. I mean, your camera was behind me. My camera was behind you, and they shot, you know, simultaneously and edited simultaneously. It was insane. The one thing I didn't learn to do on a soap was continuity, because you just shot it once, all at once. And so you'd never, there was no such thing as coming around and getting the other side. I mean, the cameras moved with you and you just, you got it. That's it. There was no time.
Oh my gosh. Right.
So, yes. So that was different, like learning how to do the same thing over again. And I mean, I remember the first time, and it will be the last time, that I ever picked up a pencil and was starting to talk with it. And then continuity came to me and said, well, on this line, you had the pencil here. And then I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? This is a nightmare. You know, that's when I realized, oh, you've got to be really deliberate as you're doing it. Like, know what you're doing, remember what you're doing. Otherwise, you are never going to be able to do it again in the same way, you know? And I didn't play villains. I played more the character that Nan is, her television personality. Those kind of Anna, you know, Coulter, right? What's her name?
Ann Coulter.
Yeah, Ann Coulter. Just sort of very officious, you know, coiffed. But Nan Flanagan, the vamp outside of that, that I'd never gotten to do, you know, a real hard ass, but also like a hard ass with power that doesn't get dismissed as just an angry woman. I mean, there was like the women, the strong women, female characters on True Blood were amazing. You know, they weren't.
That's a very good point.
You know, they weren't labeled as something else, as difficult women. You know, they were just, they were strong. Yeah. And I mean, and I loved that.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. There, that's something we haven't talked about, is how unusual it is to have an unapologetic strong woman where she isn't then labeled as crazy. You know, Pam won crazy. And she was loyal and she had these great qualities, right?
By the project itself.
By the project itself. Right. Yes. And I'm so curious, because you have such an impressive resume. It's so staggeringly long, and you,
it goes on and on and on.
It goes on and on with hundreds of episodes. And you start, I mean, you were a series regular in Judging Amy for 150 episodes or something crazy. I couldn't even retain it. So what other things were different with shooting True Blood? Because that's so fascinating to think of a soap opera where you would do 1 hour show a day, 5 days a week. And on True Blood, we would shoot a 1 hour show over 3 weeks. So we were, I don't know, on a soap, you're doing 60 pages a day. We're doing three.
Yeah.
And right. And you're swearing and going down on a chick. And like, what was the feel of this show that your incredible resume didn't have in it prior to this?
Well, the character of Nan, that in and of itself, is not, wasn't a female character I'd played before. So that was really exciting. And as we just finished saying, like an unapologetic, strong woman. And then the challenge of the beauty of being on a soap every single day is you just live, breathe, eat. You know, you're just this character practically 24/7. And you're right. We would do an episode a day. And there were times, because that was like one of, that was my first sort of big professional job. And I was on 5 days a week because I was also, you know, young and new, and they got me nice and cheap so they could just use me all the time, you know? And so I was there. I mean, I think I worked 17 months without my first vacation the first time. And it was just day in, day out, day in, day out. But I loved it. I mean, I loved it. And you get into a rhythm. I sort of felt like I was sort of with a bunch of porpoises going through the ocean. You know, you just kind of got to know each other. And really, your characters became you. You became your characters. And sometimes they there was very little difference between the two. You know, I mean, like they would take from us, we would, you know, there was a lot of exchange between sort of what people could do in their real life and what they had their characters do. I mean, soaps move so quickly, you cannot believe it. And actually now they move even faster. We used to do one show a day. Now soap operas, the ones that are left, they do what's called six packing or seven packing, which they do six shows in 5 days so that you do. I mean, it's just insane.
Oh,
it's just so fast, so fast. So the fun part of that is you're just all in the mix all the time. There's no such thing as egos, the above the line, below the line. What's that? Who cares? Cameramen were my best friends because I, you know, they'd be waving with their hands to tell me to move over a little bit while I'm speaking in the scene so that they could get it. And, you know, I mean, we would be just everybody just sort of saving each other's ass. I loved it. As my first job, it was my favorite thing. And then judging Amy was an incredible opportunity as well. And what I loved about that is as a series regular sort of from the start, you know, I was part of the sort of, I went to school and I got to go every day, you know, not every single day because, you know, shoot every day, but pretty regularly. And so it was a slower pace. So you actually had more time to develop character and rehearse scenes. In soap operas, you don't rehearse scenes. You basically just get up there and do it. And I loved that opportunity to be able to sort of slow down and rehearse and drop in. And then with True Blood, I had sort of the tease of it being a series, but I was only sort of every once in a while for a while. And it was about trying to find a rhythm each time I came to set. But there would, but it was a challenge, I will admit, because I was a new mom. I would be auditioning for other things. I couldn't, you know, I had to pay my mortgage and get my insurance and do all sorts of stuff. So there'd be times where I would have an audition in the morning and then I would Zoom to be Nan Flanagan at night. And if we did a night shoot at True Blood, the next day I wasn't necessarily working. I might have an audition. So it was this like crazy juggle of my real life and the other stuff that I needed to do in order to stay afloat as an actor. And none of that I could come into my on-screen work at True Blood, right? I had to just somehow let it all go to show up as Nan. And that, I think, was my... I felt like I learned a lot about the juggle that a lot of us have as actors that don't have the great privilege and luxury of being a series regular on a show that, you know, make things work. I mean, I have a long resume because I've done two episodes of this or one episode of that. You know, I feel so lucky, so lucky to have continued to work for as long as I have. And a lot of it is because I do a lot of guest spot work or small recurring work. But it does mean you just have to, as I said, jump on that moving train each time, find the rhythm. And literally, it's usually just as I feel like, all right, I'm getting how to dance here. It's like, thanks. It's like, you're done. Off to the next one.
Well, yes. So to that end, you know, we're coming to the end of our time here. And, you know, you started as this recurring and it grew and it grew. And then finally, it's the series regular and you're in and you're getting all the scripts. And then I would love to hear how you found out about Nan's death and what that meant to you. And, you know, it is such a striking moment on the show and kind of an amazing surprise after we've just learned so much about who Nan is and how integral she is to just the history of vampires within this show. Tell us what that was like.
Well, I think it was almost as much of a surprise to me as it was to Nan. You know, I didn't realize it, I didn't know that I was going to meet my true death at the end. So I was bummed as Jessica, as the actor, was sad that, you know, I finally got to join, you know, as a series regular and then was sent on my way. But I did notice that there were a lot of like significant characters that got offed. Like for the audience, it's a lot more impactful if people that you care about get the true death or get killed because it's more of like a, so I chose to also see it as a compliment that, okay, I'm a weighty enough character that I'm worth killing and just not, you know, disappearing. But, and the only good thing about meeting the true death is you get all squibbed up, but everybody else around you gets slimed. Like, you don't get slimed. But, I mean, she kind of, Nan was sort of asking for it. I sort of revealing that I knew about Sookie's fairydom, I think, was really, they had to take me out. So I don't know. But that desperate, I mean, obviously I got the script. It wasn't like on the day. I was like, oh my God, what do you mean? You're going to kill me? No. I mean, I sort of knew a little bit ahead of time, but it's not like they give us.
Found out on the page.
Yeah, I found out on the page because they don't, you know, we don't get all the scripts at once.
Yeah.
But again, and then there's Nan at the end, you know, optics are such a big thing for her and she at all costs, you know, and she's trying to rope Bill and Eric in like, come on, we can team up. And, you know, she's just, she's a little survivor, even though she seems really tough. She's also a survivor. You know, she has to do what she has to do in order to keep her head above water. She's not going to let you see her sweat.
Yeah, it's such a fabulous scene. And, you know, everyone we've interviewed, we always ask that because, you know, everyone, every season, the big bads die and the little bads die and some innocents die. I mean, you know, this is this new model of TV that we didn't have back in the day. And now it's fun for viewers when they don't know who's going to meet their end. And everyone, every actor says, oh, it's such a bummer, you know, when you're, for whatever reason, a show ends. If the whole show ends, if just you end, it's always a thing for actors when you go, oh, okay, I'm single again.
Well, as an actor, when you watch it, when I see someone die in a show, I go, oh, they just lost their job. You know, like I have that little actor thought in the back of my head. But one thing that True Blood did that I think was really great is that they had that wall of the dearly departed. And so every single character, no matter if you were, you know, a co-star, a guest star, recurring or regular, if you left the show via a true death, your face went on that wall. And it meant that every single day that we walked to the table read, we walked by all of the faces that had been on the show, supported the show, lent their creativity. And it was such a good reminder of like why we're, you know, continuing on, you know, it's to make sure that all of those people passing, you know, that story point, that emotional payoff is worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you certainly weren't alone. That was a big wall.
Yeah.
There were a lot of faces on there. Did you always go to the table reads?
Towards the end, originally, it's not like they weren't inviting me because they didn't want me there, but I don't think they always knew whether I was going to be around. So if I was just in the box, sometimes I would get the script too late for the table read. So for season four, when I was a series regular, absolutely, I went to the table reads. And if I had enough warning, because those are fun. I mean, I never got to work with or met half of the cast, you know?
I know. Well, same with us, right? I mean, like, we talk about that all the time.
It was a big social event. And also, I always felt like because I would also, you know, like you and Lafayette, we would get those great lines. And that was the first testing ground for those lines was the table read. And they always were very exciting and nerve-wracking and fun because, you know, you'd be testing out your delivery.
Well, Kristen, you want to take us home here?
Yeah. So we ask everybody when they think back on their experience of being on True Blood, if they could pick three words that sum up your experience from your viewpoint.
I think I would say challenging, but in like a wisdom building way. So positive aspects of something being challenging.
Yeah.
Community, because I so love being in community with other actors, and the collaborative process was so lovely there. So challenging, community, and then just gratitude, 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 gratitude. I'm always, I just never take it for granted at any time when I get to work, but especially on special shows like True Blood. So those would be my words, I guess, challenging, community, gratitude.
I'm welling up, Deb.
Thank you so much, Jessica. I know, we always get Kristen a little teary. It just means so much to us that you came and spoke with us and gave us some insight into the character, because she deserves it. Man kicks butt every time.
Well, thank you. Time. Thank you. It's been really nice to be here with you too.
Oh my God. I cannot believe that is her first day.
Her first day.
What? But of course, duh, right? Like, of course, right. Like, Bill Maher's not going anywhere, right? They're just tacking 40 minutes on to the end of his day. Of course.
But insane, like, your first day, by the way, which is worse than first day.
It trumps mine.
Right. It actually trumps my first day.
I
flown from the Philippines and didn't know what planet I was on.
So I had to ride a skateboard.
And had to ride a freaking skateboard down an alley when I was on another time zone in my new teeth. And had just met my maker, and I was like, why are you speaking Cambodian? He's like, I'm not. But hers, she's live, and they're like, improvise. And you're like, you can't improvise. I don't even know who I'm playing yet. That was nuts.
And she knows nothing, and it's like, nuts. The show's not on. I'm so glad she told that story, because I wouldn't have thought to have asked it.
No.
But it's a big duh, you know? Like, oh, wow. But anyway, I mean, just simply put, she's extraordinary with the challenges that she was up against as an actor, and then in just the character work as well, to have pulled it off that flawlessly. If you'd asked me, I'd have been like, she must be a really confident person, you know?
Totally.
But apparently she had all the same doubts as the rest of us.
I know, she's actually a human being playing a vampire. And I have such kinship with her, you know, because Nan and Pam were similar. And, you know, I'd be standing there shaking in my shoes, but they'd yell action and you had to just do it.
There's a good buddy comedy there, Nan and Pam.
Nan and Pam, there is a very good, that should be a spin-off sitcom.
You heard us, HBO. Next week on Truest Blood, it's time for Kristen and I to get personal. We've got clips, quips, and V-trips.
Plus, a stroll through the lore behind the series. Where did all these mystical creatures originate? We'll do a little spooky show and tell for you all.
So thanks for listening, Truies. Subscribe and follow wherever you listen to your podcasts, and we'll see you next week.
Y'all come back now. You hear?
Truest Blood is produced by Safe Haven for HBO. Executive producers are Janina Gavankar, Kristen Bauer, and Deborah Ann Wool. Our producer is Gabrielle Galan, and our audio producer is Christopher Wool. Our theme song was recorded just for this podcast by Jace Everett. Additional music was composed by Timo Chen. And remember, you can watch all of the original episodes of True Blood on Max.
Hacks is coming back, and so is the official Hacks podcast.
With us, your hosts. I'm Paul W. Downs.
I'm Jen Statsky.
And I'm Lucia Aniello. We're the creators and showrunners. Each week on the podcast, we'll break down the new episodes.
We'll also have special guests, cast and crew from the show, like Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart.
Hacks Season 3 is available to stream now on Max.
Be sure to listen wherever you get your podcasts or listen directly on Max.